Dung, a light roasting of Frank Herbert's Dune. Chapter 2, The Barman, Fay Wray, and Spidey. Trying to understand Polly Moab, Utah, without understanding his enemies, the Harkin Cinemas, is like trying to understand James Joyce's Ulysses when you haven't read every single book that Joyce himself read. Because if you haven't, friend, face it, there's a lot of that Ulysses stuff you're just not going to get. From the Manuel of Polly Moab, Utah, by the Princess Ireful. A big, fat, disgusting slob was hanging from two steel cables in the middle of the family room in the Harkin Cinema's ranch house. The cables were set in tracks in the ceiling, so the humongous blubber gut could swing and glide on them and dangle over other areas of the room. The cables strained under his colossal poundage. At the end of both were meat hooks that had been pierced through the man's 60-pound love handles. They, the hooks that is, belonged to his nephew, Fay Wray, who had bought them when the town's meat lockers were outsourced to Durango, and all of the equipment that didn't get shipped to Mexico was sold at auction. It was a thoughtful gesture getting those hooks for his uncle. Fay Wray had also paid for the cables in mercurochrome and even volunteered to gaff the hooks through those enormous and repulsive man flaps. It was a nice setup. Fay Wray was only 16, but he was resourceful and efficient. Now he was observing his uncle, who was swinging slowly back and forth with the greatest of ease, like something out of a flying trapeze artist's nightmare. Fay Wray couldn't take all the credit. It was Doc Watson's orders. He told Fay Wray that his uncle absolutely needed to get off the couch occasionally, and this was the best way the boy could think of to do it. He designed and installed the hooks, cables, and ceiling tracks himself, and also bolted his own Rotzler 25-ton hydraulic tractor winch to the floor to crank him up there. What a rig! His uncle was observing two giant globes that were also hanging from the ceiling. You could tell that one was really old because Eastern Europe still had Czechoslovakia on it. Below him stood his nephew and the family's skinny and somewhat androgynous neck throttler, who was so creepy-looking he would have given Jeffrey Dahmer the heebie-jeebies. He was just plain icky. To get an idea of how much so, imagine a human-sized mouse, specifically about 5 feet 8 inches tall and 130 pounds, wearing a house dress and red high heels, but nonetheless walking on tiptoes, a black beret set askance on its head, and a submachine gun held in its grimy, spindly, fingered hands. "Tell me, Fay Wray and Spidey," the human lard warehouse swung a little to the right to address them. "Is it not San Fran-tastic what I, Barman Valium Harkin Cinema, do?" he asked, relieved and also somewhat prideful at not only having introduced his own name, and his full name at that, but also the spooky stranglers before it got very much later in the chapter. "Look at where Dude Pito Activist will go to meet the doom that I have devised for him." "The dude's going to Prague?" Spidey asked. "Wrong globe," said Fay Wray, pointing to the other one, a dusty-looking planet hanging next to the globe of ancient Earth. "He's talking about our dear Ascaris, Dung, desert planet." "Correctamundo, Fay Wray," said the barman. "I hear the dude's buying you out," said Spidey. "Oh, that's a big laugh, ha ha," said the barman. "The Atavis family doesn't even have that kind of muscle anymore. He doesn't buy me out, I buy him out." "How?" Spidey asked. "Easy," the barman replied. "I'm selling the dude all my interest in the meringue business and moving to Las Vegas. But in the meantime, I know this guy who works as a security guard for Gloman Loch Loman." "So?" "He says they've been stockpiling meringue," said the barman, "and I've got him to agree to tell everybody they're going to dump all that spice on the market. It's simple high school economics, supply and demand. Word gets out, and even the most daring investors are going to run for cover. The price of worm dust will fall so low that the dude and his mortgage will be underwater." "Underwater?" asked Spidey, confused. The term was unfamiliar. "Upside down, I mean," said the barman. "Anyhow, I'm carrying the note, so the first time the dude misses a mortgage payment, I foreclose on him and take back Ascaris. See? I can do the deal with the Atavis and still keep my planet." The barman did a joyful pirouette on the cable, spinning three full turns before coming to a halt. The cables gave off wiry pings under the stationary weight of the hippopotamus-like Harkin Cinema. Then they unwound themselves, spinning the barman three times in the opposite direction to regain their tensile equilibrium. I then get the guy at Gloman Loch Lomond to take back what he said. When he does, the price of spice will go sky high, and I'll take my planet and flip it. I thought you were just going to kill the dude. Well, that's going to be done after the foreclosure, naturally, by you. Me, Spidey ejaculated. How am I supposed to whack dude Pedo? He's never even in town. Not you. Hugh, said the barman. Dr. Hugh, DDS. He's been the out of his family dentist for years. Oh, him, Spidey said. The only thing is, said the barman, I'm a little wary about hiring him for the job because it was I, Barman Valiant Harkin Cinema, who had his precious girlfriend and dental assistant Wanda whacked. And by the way, thanks for returning the garrote in such a timely manner. Another assassin really needed it. Don't mention it, said Spidey. Always help out. Glad to. Anyway, continued the barman, because of our whacking Wanda, I'm not sure whether he's agreeing to do this in order to trick me and get even somehow. We'll hire somebody else. I would, said the barman. Trouble is, he's the only one I can find in the whole Adipus family circle who will agree to kill the dude at all, so I'm stuck. Well, I think you might be the one who's stuck. I just said that. The dentist. Oh, Hugh. Whew. Whew, thought Fay Wray. What a couple of jerks. He was unhappy at being left out of the conversation as though he were just there to lend ear and somehow gain wisdom from this pair of two-headed chongos. When and where was this? He asked. Why did you whack Wanda, Uncle Barney? Last August in the linen closet, his uncle replied, for mixing a Madras shirt in with my whites. Author's note, besides being a dental assistant, Wanda also did a lot of the Harkin Cinema's laundry. The Atavis family didn't much like this, but Dr. Hugh had talked them into letting her keep both jobs, a decision that everyone would eventually regret. Oh, said Fay Wray, he always wondered where, when, and why he whacked Wanda. There was a thump. Ah, a letter has arrived, said the barman, and glided squeakily on the tracks to the message cylinder on the wall. There was a popping sound when he pulled the rubber-ended capsule from the pneumatic tube. He unscrewed the top, pulled out an envelope. It's for me, he cried happily. I think. Here, Spidey, read it to me. He dropped the envelope down, and Spidey caught it. This was 10,191, and the telegraph had recently been invented, but Spidey hadn't gotten around to learning Morse code, and the barman hadn't even gotten around to learning to read, so the message cylinder system was the best way to go, as long as the barman could keep his spooky-looking garrotter on call. It's from Dude Pedo, said Spidey. He's sending his regrets regarding your invitation to lunch with him. What does he say? He says he has no intention of having lunch with you or any other Harkin Cinema son of a bitch. Well, write him back and tell him that I think he is a son of a bitch, too. There was another thump, and the barman retrieved the capsule. Could this be for you, Spidey? He tossed the envelope down. Yeah, it's my paycheck from Assassins or Us, he said. He opened the envelope, and a sprinkling of green leaves spilled out. What the hell is this? He asked. Parsley? It's a traditional message, said the barman. It means they're garnishing your wages. He stared down at the assassin and continued, which is exactly what I might do if you continue moonlighting. What's more, I just might forget a certain promise I made. You wouldn't. What's the promise? Asked Fay Wray. He promised me the mother of the boy, Polly. Polly. Really a lovely boy, said the barman. A lovely person. Let's get this settled right now, Spidey pressed. What about our agreement about his mom? Oh, relax, that should be no problemo, said the barman. Although you might have to stand in line, just pray that the Sardonican fleet isn't in town when I hand her over to you. What do you want with her? Fay Wray asked. I didn't think you even liked older women, or women at all. I don't, said Spidey. I need a decent cello player for the string quartet I'm putting together. You know how hard they are to find on a planet full of Harkin Cinemas. They're all musical idiots. He hesitated, then added hastily, present company excluded, of course. But of course, said the barman, who in fact was called by some the master of the drylands kazoo. Am I not San Fran-tastic? As am I. Don't forget, who it was who suggested that you contact Dr. Hugh in the first place. Well, it wasn't you, oh Speedo, countered the barman. Was too, oh Pancho. Was not. Fay Wray listened. Oh Pancho, oh Speedo, he mocked. Idiots. My uncle can't even discuss business with his favorite assassin while getting into an argument. Fay Wray, said the barman, are you learning from this art? This exchange of ideas between two masters of disaster? I sure am, he said, knowing full well that all he was learning was the art of needlessly filling pages with vapid, contrived banter. The barman struggled on his cables uncomfortably. Crank me down, he said. I want back on the couch. Tired of just, you know, just hanging around? Spidey smirked. The barman glared at him ferociously as his nephew started up the winch and cranked him down. Now get over here, Fay Wray, and get your big meat hooks off of me.